Beginning the current daf, Masech the Sanhedrin daf Yud Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Yud Gimel Mabez, four lines up from the bottom of the Yamad, but the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had mentioned the halach of our Mishnah, that also is, which is the topic of our parak regarding the opening Mishnah of this Masechta, regarding the different amount of judges that are necessary for certain court cases. So regarding the halacha of smicha zakenim, which is when the elders lean their hands on the parim helm davish al tzibur, when the majority of the Jewish people make an error in law based on the courts, the high court's decisions, so that they have to have the three of the Sanhedrin come and do smicha. But then the Braisa mentioned, besides smicha zakenim, I mentioned another halacha of smicha. What's that? That's the rabbinic ordination when there's the Masara passed down from tradition, from Moshe Rabbeinu regarding Teresh Bapeh, from sage to sage. That also requires three judges. Now, on that, the Gemara continues and asks, v'chad lo yisamach, is it really true that, however, that one judge himself cannot do smicha, that you have to have three rabbanim to go ahead and pass on that rabbinic ordination to the next rabbi? But va'amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he says, Barum, however, zachar oisai ish latoiv, that man should be remembered for the good. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shemayin, his name was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Shalomalehu, because if not for him, nishtarchu dini kenosis miyisrael, the laws of penalties, which is a separate area of law in monetary department, would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. Now, that the Gemara asked, nishtarchu, if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, would be forgotten. Nigrasinu, what do you mean, let them just learn it? What role did he play in it not being forgotten? There's many different Talmid the Chacham that would have learned the laws of Dinei Kenosis. Ella rather explains the Gemara, as we continue the top of Yudalim and Aleph, it means Batlu Dinei Kenosis Mi Yisrael, means to say that the laws of practicing laws of penalties would have been non-existent. And the reason being is because, as we're going to see, if not for the ordination of Smicha, then the rabbis cannot, as we established in the previous daf, practice the laws of Dinei Knesset. And he was the one that kept the smicha alive. As we find, one time, the Roman government decreed a decree on the Jewish people, whoever gives over smicha will be killed. Whoever gets the rabbinic ordination will be killed. And the city that they do the smicha in will be destroyed. And the boundaries of those areas will be uprooted. So what did he do? No one's going to be smicha anymore because he's going to be killed automatically. So then there wouldn't have been any more dina knasis, because that we said it could only be for, from a rabbi who has smicha. So what he did was, he went and he sat between two large mountains, between two large cities. But again, not in the city, because if it would be discovered, that they shouldn't destroy the whole city. And he wasn't in any boundaries. He was between the two boundaries of their Tchum Shabbos, which is 2,000 amas past the city limits, which was Bein Usha L'Shefram, between these two cities, Usha and L'Shefram. V'samach Sham Chamisha Zekeinim Ve'eluhein. And then he did smicha to five elders, and they are Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Yisi, Reb Elazar ben Shemua, the big Talmid Chachamim of Amasaira. We have the thanks to Rabbi ben Bava that he passed it on at great risk to his life. Now Rav Avia Ma'isif Avram Nechemia, he adds on even Rav Nechemia that he was also included in the smicha. Now, the story continues, Kivin Shekiru Oyveim Behem, but once the enemy, the Romans, discovered them, so they were coming to kill them. So Amalahan, so Rabbi ben Bava said to the five or six students that had the smicha, Banai Rutsu, my sons, run away, you get away before the enemy comes. So Amalei, they said to him, Rebbe Matei Alecha, but our teacher, what's going to be with you? So Amalehan, he said to them, don't worry, Hareini Muta Lefneim Ke'evin She'in Lohavchem, I'm going to stop them from catching you, because I'm going to be in front of them like a rock that can't be turned over. I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to delay them that way. Amru, they said that Lezazim Misham, that they didn't leave from there, the Romans, Achenatsu by Sholosh Meis Lumbiyoi Shel Barzal, until they pierced him with 300 spears of iron. Vasu Kikvar, and they made him like a sieve. That's how many holes he had in him. But again, that's how he was able to stop them and let his students run away. And again, that's why I have to thank him, because of him, that there was a smicha continued. But one thing we see from this incident is that it was only one individual, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who gave over the smicha. So how could we say on the previous staff that you need to have three to give over smicha? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Achrine Havabade. There were others with him. He couldn't do it himself. You have to have at least three rabbis to give over the smicha. And this, that he didn't mention them, was Mishum Kvaydir, the Rebbe Yudman Bava, because of the honor of Rebbe Yudman Bava, and he was much greater than the rest. So it wasn't appropriate to say all the three together. It only mentions him, but yes, there were two other rabbis with him. Now, the Gemara asked parenthetically from this incident, Reb Meir, who was one of the five mentioned, they got smicha from Rebbe Yudman Bava, asked the Gemara, Rebbe Yudman Bava Samchi, he only got his smicha from Rebbe Yudman Bava. But Vamar Rabbi Bachan Amar Biyechanan, he says, Kala Oimer Remeir Leisamch Rabbi Kiva, whoever says that Remeir did not get smicha from Rabbi Kiva, Eina Elatai is mistaken. So what are you saying he got from Yehud Membava if he got his ordination from Rabbi Kiva? Says the Gemara, yes, Samche Rabbi Kiva Bavale Kiblu. He originally got smicha from Rabbi Kiva, but it wasn't received because he was still very young. So people didn't accept him as a musmach. Samcher b'hidman bava v'kibla, but later on b'hidman bava gave a smicha, and then it was accepted. That's where he ultimately got his smicha from. That was accepted by the Jewish people. Now the Gemara continues on these laws of smicha. So Amar b'shuman Levi says, "Ein smicha b'chutz la'aretz." There cannot be the smicha again, which is loosely translated as rabbinic ordination, which is the giving over the tradition of the oral law from teacher to student. That cannot be done out of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, "My ain't smicha." What does it mean that there is no smicha? If you would think to say that the element of smicha doesn't apply out of Eretz Yisrael, meaning because you cannot judge the laws of penalties, it's not going to help out of Chutz La'aretz, even if that rabbi got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, which is an appropriate smicha. But not the Gemara asks, but what's not? In the Mishnah Maseches Makis that says Sanhedrin or Hegis, the laws of the Sanhedrin applies, meaning that they could practice, which applies to those who have smicha, that to judge laws of penalties, b'im ba'aretz u'b'im b'chutz la'aretz, that they could do, they could practice that not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even in chutz la'aretz. So Ella Rather says, the Gemara, no, it means d'lo samchinen b'chutz la'aretz. You cannot give over the smicha, you cannot have the ceremony of smicha, you can't give over the ordination out of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, pshita, so it's obvious from our discussion, samchin b'chutz la'aretz, b'nismochin ba'aretz, that if, let's say, the one who's giving over the smicha is out of Eretz Yisrael, so, but the one who's getting the smicha is in Eretz Yisrael. So if let's say there's a rabbi in Bavel that's giving permission to a student that's in Eretz Yisrael to judge the laws of penalties. So hamrin and delay, so that we just said, that won't work. Because like we said, there's no smicha in Chutz La'aretz. And since, even if the student was here in Bavel, it wouldn't help to do the smicha, for sure when he's not even here, for sure the smicha is not going to work. El, however, our question is, let's say samchin ba'aretz, the one who's giving the smicha is in Eretz Yisrael. V'nismachin b'chutz la'aretz, but the one who's getting the smicha is out of Eretz Yisrael. So if the one that's doing the smicha is in Eretz Yisrael, and the one who's getting it is in Bavel, and he's not near the one who's giving the smicha, that's our question, my. Would we say that it would help, and as if he was next to him at the time of the smicha, and therefore the one who's receiving the smicha would help him to be able to judge laws of penalties in Chutz La'aretz, as we taught from the Mishnah that the Sanhedrin works even out of Eretz Yisrael? Or maybe do we say that no, since he's not next to the one who's giving him smicha in Eretz Yisrael at this time, it's not going to help? Says the Gemara, Tashma, come in here, we could prove from the following incident with Rabbi Yechanan have a mitzdar aled Rabbi Shimon bar Abba. Rabbi Yechanan was in pain regarding Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, that wasn't next to him to give him smicha. So we see that even if, let's say, the one who's giving the smicha in Eretz Yisrael, where you can then give it over, but if the musmach, the one who's getting it, is not there, he doesn't get the smicha. So to Rabbi Shimon ben Zerud v'chadi imei, regarding Rabbi Shimon ben Zerud and someone that was with him, Umanu, who is that? Rabbi Yisrael ben Achmoy, Bamelan, some say it was the other way around, again, which whoever's one is that we're mentioning is the greater one, that it was Rabbi Yisrael ben Achmoy v'chadi imei, Umanu, who is that? Rabbi Shimon ben Zerud, that either way, regarding one of these two, Chad Dahava Gabayo Samchuhu, the one that was next to him, he gave smicha to. Chad Dahava Gabayo Lo Samchuhu, the one that was not next to him, he didn't give smicha. So we see that even if they're giving the smicha in Eretz Yisrael, the other one is not there, let's say he's in Bavel, that smicha is not going to work. Now continuing on this theme, Reb Chanina of Reb Hoishya, have a komishtaked Reb Yechanan l'mismachin. Reb Yechanan was very diligent. He was constantly trying and anticipating to give smicha to Reb Chanina and Reb Hoishya. Now, but Lahav Mistayei Milsa, he wasn't successful when they were next to him. He couldn't find two other rabbis to join them to give smicha to them. And as we mentioned before, you need to have three rabbis to give over the smicha. So Havakam Mitzdar Tuva, it was very pain because he really felt it was important for these Tamid Chacham to become Rabban Musmachim. So Amalei, they said to him, Lo Yinstar Mar, let the master not be pained. because Danan made the base Eli Kasinan. We come from the family of the base of Eli. The Amr B'Shmuel Bar Nachman Amr B'Yenison, he said, Menayin She'ein Nesmachin on base Eli. From where do we know that the household of Eli, they're not successful in becoming Mesmachin in having the rabbinic ordination? Because Shenem, it says in the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, Le'yiyah Zakin Beveskel Kol Yam. The curse that was given over to the household of Eli was that there's not going to be a Zakin, an elder in your house all the days. Now, my Zakin, what does it mean, the elder? Elim a Zakin Mamash, if you think it means to say that they're just not going to get old. But for Ksiv, the next Pasuk right after that already says that idea. It says, Kol Marbis Beiskel Yamus Anoshim. All those who increase in your household, they're going to die as men, meaning when they reach the age of an adult, of a man, which is 18 years old, they're going to die. Now, so why is it repeating it? It already just said they're not going to grow old. Ella, rather, because the term of Zakin means something else. It means smicha. Meaning, even the sages who reach an older age, now how is it possible if the household of Eli die when they're young, is because as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Chesem and Aleph, through Tyre and Gemilas Chasadim. Because the Pasuk says, Bezevach u'mincha et ein meskapa, that they're not going to have an atonement with sacrifices. But the inference is, but there would be an atonement for the household of Eli to live longer if they learn Tyre and do acts of kindness. However, that's what the Pasuk is telling us, that the concept of Zikna, which is to be fit to sit in the Sanhedrin, that's not going to apply to them even if they do live to an old age. So they said, don't worry if you're not successful in giving a smicha, because the Pasuk already tells us that we're not going to be able to be successful in getting smicha. Now, Reb Zeira haba mitamar lemismachei. Reb Zeira would conceal himself, he would hide when they tried to give him smicha. And the reason for that was because the Amr Reb Lazar had taught, lo'ilam hevekavel, a person should always be in the dark, v'kayim, and then he'll survive, then he'll live. In other words, distance yourself from the limelight, from leadership, from the rabbanis, because as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that it buries the ones who get involved in it. So he was refusing to get this ordination. But given the Shama Lohad, the Amr Belazab, once he heard about a different teaching of Rabbi Belazab, that tells us, Ein Adam Oyla Gedula, a person does not achieve leadership. Elim came Moichan Lo Al Kolav Anoysav, until they first forgive him from all his sins. So Amti Le Anafshe, so he actually was attempted, and he was diligent in trying to get that leadership role, because it has a different pro, which is that then he's forgiven for all his sins. Now Kisimchul Reb Zeira, when they gave smicha to Reb Zeira, so shara lehachi, so they sang regarding his praises as follows, regarding the following simile. Loi kral, not with eye makeup, v'loi shirok, and not with face makeup, v'loi pirkus, and not with braiding of the ears, and still v'yalaschein, still she finds so much favor, which is a song that they sing for a beautiful bride, which she has so much grace and favor, even without all the adornments. And that they were saying about Reb Zeira, without all the external trappings, he still is such a great person. Kisemchul Reb Amiel Reb Asi, so too when they gave smicha to Reb Amiel and Reb Asi, shara lo hu hachi, they sang regarding them as follows. Kol mendein smochu lano. People like this and the like this, they should ordain for us, because these are very appropriate to have smicha. Whereas, le sismochu lano, but don't give smicha for us, Loimis Samaritin, not from, which is a terminology of a smartrid, of a rag, not like those who are like rags, meaning that they don't give a good explanation for their words, which that's what a rag is, not a finished cloth. Loimis Armisin, and not from those who have inverted logic, where it comes from like the word of Cirrus, where they invert the thing from the back to the backwards, which is that these who have inverted logic, they twist around the reasoning of the Torah. Mamelans, and some say that what they said is that loy mechamisin, not from those who are from the term of chamsin, which is those who rob, meaning they refrain from giving over the explanations and the reasons of the laws of the Torah. And v'loy mitumisin, and not from those who are lupins, which is to some type of a legume or some type of a pea, which Rashi says it's not clear exactly what that means, what's it referring to, but it's also a type of a scholar that's not appropriate to get smicha. Ribavo, Kevo Asim Mesivta Lebe Kesa, when he would come from, continuing on this, that people would sing for Tamil Chacham, when he would come from the study hall to the house of the Caesar, so nafki matronisa de bekeser umesharin lay. So then the women of the household of the Caesar would come out and greet him and sing to him. Rabba da'ame. the Nasi of his people, Medabranadu Masei, the leader of his nation, and the reason was because he was a Parnas, he was an Askan, a leader, and he was very close to the government. But Tzina Dinahira, the radiant light, where because he was very great in beauty, and he radiated, as the Gemara says in Bava Metzia Pedalma Beis, that his beauty was like that those of the most beautiful of the world, like that of Yaakov Avinu and the like. Baruch Masach L'Sholem, let your coming here be blessed in peace. Now the Gemara returns and resumes the discussion of the Halacha of our Mishnah that said, Arifas Egla B'Shleisha, when there was a person who was found dead between cities, not clear how he got murdered, so then the elders of the city closest to the site of the murder would have to bring a young calf, and they would do an arifa, they would decapitate the head, and the three of the city elders would come and lean their hands on and do this process of egla rufa, whereas Reb Shimon actually says in the Mishnah that you need to have five elders. So in the Brisa that expands on this, the Pasuk in Devarim says regarding this parsha of the Egla Rufa, it says, V'yatzu zikenecha v'shevtecha, that your elders and your judges, they go out to that site of where the murdered person was found. Now, zikenecha is plural, that tells us shnayim, two elders. Shevtecha, your judges, also is plural. Shnayim is also two. So that's four. V'im bezen shakal, because as we established many times, you can't have an equal amount of judges. Me'siven le'noid echas, you add another one. Harik kachamisha, that makes for a total of five of the Sanhedrin. Divri Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon HaMihi says, no, zikenecha shnayim. It says your elders two, ve'im bezen shakal, you can't have equal. So me'siven le'moidecha, you add another one, harikan shalesh, that makes for three. Ask the Gemara of Reb Shimon, but according to Reb Shimon, ha'yishavtecha mayavale, what does he do with the extra terminology of your judges? Says the Gemara, humi bayle, he needs le'miuchadin shebeshavtecha, it comes to refer to the distinct ones of your judges, not to add in another two. It's coming to designate that these zikenim, these elders, should be from the Sanhedrin Gedailah, from the court of the 71 judges. Whereas for Behuda, the Gemara says, Mizikne zikenecha nafka. No, he uses the word Shavtecha to add another two. And how does he know it should be from the Sanhedrin HaGadol? It's from it could have said Zikne, it says zikenecha, which one comes to tell us two, which is Zikne, and then zikenecha, the distinct ones, which are the Sanhedrin HaGadol. But the Gemara says, Reb Shimon, he says, no, imi zikne, if you would be learning out from Zikne, havamina zikne ashuk, I would have thought to say that, yeah, which elders? The elders from the street, from the marketplace. Kasav Rachman is Zikenecha. That's why Torah writes, your elders, to tell you that they have to be rabbis, they have to be from the courts. Now, V'kasiv Zikenecha, but had only said, your elders, Havimina Sanhedrin Ketana. I would have thought to say that, okay, but they could be from the lower courts of 23. Kasav Rachman of Shevtecha, that's why it says, and your judges, which is Mimyuchad Neshev Shevtecha, from the distinct one of your judges, but there's no extra term Shevtecha to add another two, and therefore he holds his only a quarter of three. But Rabbi Huda, he's Gomer Zikne Zikne Mevesamchu Zikne Eide Es Yedeim. He learns at Gezer Shava, where it says Zikne over here, and it says Zikne over there by the Parhelm Dabur Shal Tzibur, which it says that the elders lean their hand on the head of the bull. Now, Ma'ala Halam Yuchad Meshavi Eide, just like over there, as we explained this on the previous daf on Gimel Beis, that the elders over there have to be from the Sanhedrin HaGadol, so Avkam, Yuchad Meshavi Zeknecha, from here, from the Gzer Shavah, Zikne Zikne, would tell us from the Yuchad Meshavi Zeknecha, and therefore it is extra, and that's because you know Yuchad Meshavi Zeknecha from just the fact that it says Zikne. Now, but then the Gemara asks, but E Yalef, but if that's the case that he's learning from the Gzeir Shava of Zikne Zikne, from Parhelm Shal Dabur to the Egla Rufa, so Leilef Kulam Mahasam. So let him learn all the halachas out from Parhelm Dabur Shal Tzib, but even regarding the number that he holds, it has to be five elders, you could learn that from there also, because that we taught on the previous daf, that it says Vesamchu, which is two, and Zikne two, which you can't have just four, so you add another one. Yet we know you have five by Parhelm Dabur Shal Tzibur. So Zikenecha v'Shevtecha Lamali. So according to that, why does Rabbi Yehuda need at all Zikenecha and Shevtecha if you could just say the word Zikne and you would have a Gzeir Shava from Parhelm Dabur Shal Tzibur? So Elirav the Gemara retracts and says, you're right. No, really, Rabbi Yehuda does not have an Gzeir Shava learning out from Parhelm Dabur Shal Tzibur. And Shevtecha, therefore, is necessary to teach us, as Reb Shimon had told us, to teach us regarding the halachas of that has to be miuchadin shebeshevtecha, which are regarding the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So then where does he know the extra terminology of another two judges? He can't use it anymore, shevtecha, as another plural, because he's using it to tell you it has to be Sanhedrin HaGadol. Rather, it's vav v'shevtecha, which is Lemanyana. The extra vav of the word v'sheftecha, that comes to add on another two. But you're right, the word sheftecha itself is teaching you there has to be Sanhedrin HaGadol, but it's the extra vav. Whereas it says the Gemara, Reb Shimon, vav lo darshi, he doesn't expound the extra vav. It's just saying that it's continuing what we're saying before, and judges. And therefore he says three, whereas Reb Yehuda says that you need five. Now the Gemara, however, asks, but Elamiyat, if that's the case that, okay, we don't know which words are necessary or not, but everyone would agree if the word Sheftecha was extra, then it would say another two, because if Zikanecha, that's one plural, and Sheftecha is another one. It's just that they're saying that you need it for something else, so you're left with only two plus one, which is three, and he knows of an extra vav. But what's with the other pluralistic terms in the pasuk? It says V'yatsu, they go out, which is Shnaim, that's plural. It says U'madadu, they measure, which is Shnaim, that's two. So Rabbi Yehuda Reitish, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should already be up to nine. Rabbi Shimon Shiva, according to Rabbi Shimon, you should be up to seven, because you should be adding another four because of these terms, which are two other plurals. So it's like, come on now, humi boile, like the Tanya, you're right, if they were unnecessary, we would expound them for each pluralistic term and another two. But those words are necessary to teach other halachas. When it says viyatu, they go out, it's hein b'le shluchan. It means that the elders themselves have to go out and not their agents. Umadu, when it says they measure, it comes to teach us shafila nimtza, that even if it's found, as we continue to Tamad Beis, ba'alil li'ir, that it's clear to that it's to the city, meaning it's pretty open and obvious that this is the closest city to the site of the murder, more than all the other cities, still tzarech lasik b'mandid, still they have to be involved in measuring. You have to do the act of measuring, even though it's pretty clear where they have to measure which is the closest city. That's what we learn from Umadu, and therefore they're not superfluous to teach another two for each pluralistic term. Now the Gemara comments and says, "Masnitin deleki haytana." Our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. The Tana Glinda Breister, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, he says the pasuk in Devarim which talks about the parasha of Egel Arufa says, "V'yatzu zikinecha v'sheftecha," that your elders and your judges they go out. Says Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, "Zikinecha zu Sanhedrin." When it says your elders, that's a reference to the Sanhedrin. V'sheftecha, when it says your judges, ze melech v'koyin gadol, that refers to the king and the high priest. Why? Melech, we find by a king, it says the pasuk in Mishlei, Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, a king with justice will establish the land. So you see that sheftecha, justice, a judge, applies to a king. And so to Kohen Gadol, so to regarding the Kohen Gadol, it says the pasuk in Devarim, Uvasa la kahanim alavim v'alashev, you'll come to the kahanim alavim and to the judge, where we see the element of judgment regarding kahanim, and therefore he disagrees with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't mention anything about Melech and Kohen Gadol, and he holds that you do need them. Now, but Ibailu had the following question. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, b'chad the Pollock, is he only disagreeing with our Mishnah on one point? Or b'tarti Pollock, or is he disagreeing on two points? As the Gemara explains, the Melech v'Kohen Gadol Pollock, is he only disagreeing regarding that you have to also have the king and the high priest, which is only one thing he's disagreeing about? Aval b'Sanhedrin, but regarding what we spoke about in our Mishnah regarding the Sanhedrin, Ikreb Yehuda, Ikreb Shimon, and that'll hold either like Reb Yehuda or like Reb Shimon, that you have to have either five of them or three of them. Oidilmor, maybe says the Gemara, actually maybe he disagrees on the second point too. B'Sanhedrin Nami Pollock, that he's disagreeing even regarding the Sanhedrin, the Amar Kula Sanhedrin ba'inan, that he holds that when it says v'zikinecha, your elders mean Sanhedrin, he holds you have to have the entire Sanhedrin, not like the opinions in our Mishnah that it has to be only five or three. So Rabbi Yosef Tashim, Rabbi Yosef says, come in here, I'll prove it from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, if mitza'on, if what's known as a zakin mamri, who is an elder that rebels and refuses to accede to the ruling of the high court of the Sanhedrin, if he finds them out of the Lishkas HaGazas, which is the chamber of hewn stone, which is in the Har HaBayis and Temple Mount, which is with the Sanhedrin HaGadol, where their court was, if he finds them, Abes Pagi, out of the place of the Beis HaMikdash, he finds them in an area which is right within the boundaries of the walls of Yerushalayim, which therefore has the halachas of Yerushalayim for all practical purposes, but he finds them not in their place where they usually are on the Temple Mount. Now, and he rebels in them. They tell him one halacha, and he says, no, I think you're all wrong, I'm going to do it my way. Says the Braisa, Yochel Tehamra Asamra, you would think that his rebelliousness would be considered enough to classify him as a Zakin Mamri, which would then, as the Torah tells us, give him a punishment of Chenek. Tamalema says the Pasuk in Devarim, no, but come to Valisa Lamakam, says that if you go up, if you stand up and you go up to that place, and then you rebel, Malamit Shamakam Garm, it comes to teach us that it's only the place. If he hears the ruling from them in the Lishkas HaGazas, and then he goes back to his hometown and disregards them, that's where he would get the death penalty of strangulation. But if he found them somewhere else and they told him the ruling and he disregards them, that doesn't give him the classification of a zaken namri. Now that says Rav Yosef Dinafik Kama. How do we understand this brisa? When he encountered the Sanhedrin out of the place, somewhere else in Yerushalayim, in this place of Beis Pagi, how many of the Sanhedrin were outside of the Lishkas Hagazas? Elam and Miktsasin, if you say that only some of them had left, and they were the ones who told him the halacha out of that place, and then he rebelled regarding what they said. So then the question would be, then why would the Brice have to tell us the reason why he's exempt is because the Makam is Gairim, that because he rebelled out of the Lishkas Hagazas, that's why he's exempt. But you should say he's exempt because Dilmahanach the Ikka Gavoy, because maybe those are the remaining members of the High Court who are still in the Lishka, Kaimikava say, maybe they would agree to him. So we don't know that as if he's rebelling against them because he didn't rebel against all of them. Elipshita denafikulis, rather says Rav Yezer, it's obvious that the Zaken Mamre would only be if he rebels against all the members of the Sanhedrin. Now, so Lamai, so for what purpose is the entire Sanhedrin out of the Lishkas Hagazas and somewhere else in Yerushalayim? Elim ledvarishos, if you think, what do I mean, they're just taking a stroll, maybe all the members of the High Court went out just for a voluntary need. And that says the Gemara, Mim Matinafki, says Rav Yosef, what do you think they are allowed to leave? They're not. Because the Baksiv, the Pasuk says, Shirashirim, in the way of a metaphor, says, Sharareich, your navel, Agan Hasar, is like a basin of like a moon, which Al Yechsa Masik says, the Pasuk, you cannot diminish from the mixture. Which the Gemara expounds in Perak Echadin and Mamanis, Naflan Zion and Aleph, that when it says Al Yechsa Hamazik, what it means to say is that if one of the members of the High Court have to leave, it's only if there's going to be remaining 23 judges correlating to the lower court's number of the Sanhedrin Ketana, only then could he leave. But if not, he's not allowed to leave, which is the Mezik, which is as we poured a drink of two parts one and one part the other one. So 23 is like one third of the number of the 71. There has to be remaining. You can't leave. The whole Sanhedrin cannot leave for Dvarishus. So Elipshit Levar Mitzvah, rather concludes Rav Yosef, it must be, if he encountered all of the Sanhedrin, and still he's exempt because he was not in the place of where they usually are, must have been that they went out for a mitzvah purpose. Hechidami, what's the mitzvah purpose of Sanhedrin HaGadlah would all have to leave? Lav Lemendidas Eglo, isn't it because they would have to measure the place of the decapitated calf? V'ribeliezer ben Yaakovi. And says Rav Yosef, and must be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Dama Kulis Sanhedrin Binan, that he's the one that would be saying that you need the whole Sanhedrin. Unlike Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, our Mishnah says you only need three or five, it seems to be a clear raya that he would be the Tan of this Brisa, which would indicate that he holds that all of the Sanhedrin have to leave for the mitzvah purpose of measuring which town is closest to the place of the murdered person. So I'm like, Abai said Rav Yosef, it's not a proof. I could tell you a different mitzvah purpose. You're right, it would have to be for mitzvah purpose. But it would be for a different mitzvah purpose that they all left the Lishkas Hagazas because they went to increase the perimeter of the city of Yerushalayim. And there, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Yud Aleph, they have to sanctify this addition of the city with two karbanas taida and with song, valazars, or if they're coming to increase the area of the courtyard. Like we learned in our Mishnah said, "Emisifan aleir v'alazar." So now let it add on to the city or to the courtyards. Elabebezdin shall shivim ve'echad. Only with a court with of 71, meaning with the entire Sanhedrin. That's why they left. But you have no riot to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold that when it says zekenecha, that's the Sanhedrin, that it means the entire Sanhedrin. And therefore, it could be he was only disagreeing on one point regarding Melech and Kohen Gadol. However, in spite of this rejection of Abaya, Tanya Kavah said to Rav Yosef, the Gemara says, we learned in the Braisa like Rav Yosef that, yeah, going out for the mitzvah purpose is the entire Sanhedrin, even for Egla Rufa, which would then seem to tell us that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is possibly the one who says that the entire Sanhedrin has to leave. Because the Braisa says, Matzana beis pagi v'himralein, that same halacha that we quoted before, if this elderly Zaken, this Zaken Mamri finds the Sanhedrin in this place beis pagi, by the edge of Yerushalayim, and he rebels on them, why would the entire Sanhedrin be out? For example, if they went to measure for the decapitated calf, which is like Rav Yosef, and you see the entire Sanhedrin has to go, not just three or five, like Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah, and to add, or, which is another case, like Abaye had said, to add on to the dimensions of the city or the courtyards, says the Rebbe, so you would think, since the entire Sanhedrin is there, that his rebelliousness would be judged as a zaken ma'amen, he would get chenek. That's the pasuk teaches that the halacha only applies when bekamta, that you get up, valisa elamakim, you go up to the place, meaning malamet shalamakim grem, that teaches us that the place causes the halacha of zaken mamri, not even if it's the entire Sanhedrin, if it's not in the harabais. Now the Mishnah taught us that netter revai, regarding the fruits of the fourth year, where the first 3 years of a new tree, the fruits are arla, they're forbidden for any benefit. The fourth year you could have benefit, but you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. But if you don't want to, you could redeem it and then bring up the money. Umayser sheni, or the fruits of the second tithe, where the first tenth of a person's produce he gives to the Levi, then the second tenth he goes and he takes for himself, but he has to consume it in Yerushalayim. And the rest, if he doesn't want to, he has to redeem it, deconsecrate it onto monies and bring the monies up to Yerushalayim. So on that said, the Mishnah, if she'ein dam of yidun, if the monetary value is not known of this neter avai or ma'aser she'ini, but you want to redeem it so you can take the money up to Yerushalayim and not drag all the payers up to Yerushalayim, that requires b'shleish, that requires three of the judges to be able to evaluate what is the value of this, of the deconsecration for to put it onto money to bring that up to Yerushalayim. What type of ma'aser sheni would be that the value of the produce is not known? Usually market values are well known. Says the Gemara, it's perisher kibbutz, like by produce which has rotten, or v'yayin shehikrim, or wine that's soured, or mo'ish echlidu, or money that has rusted, that's not such a common thing. Those are ruined produce that there's no known market value. Since it's not known, you have to have three assessors to be on the court to evaluate how much is the value to make the pidyon. Now, Tanur Banan learned the Braisa, that Ma'aser Sheni Shein Dam of Yidun, regarding the Ma'aser Sheni that the person wants to be paida, but the value is not known, so paida Eisa B'Shleish L'Kucha, so you have to do, not just with any three people, the redemption has to be with three merchants who are proficient in the markets of evaluation. Avolei B'Shleish Shein L'Kucha, but it can't be three that are not consumers themselves, who are not well-versed in evaluating a product's value. Now, but says the Braisa, afilo nachri echad men, but it works even if there's one of them is a non-Jew, and afilo echad men bailman, even if one of them is from the owner himself, they could combine to be the three that will evaluate the value for the pidyon. Now, Boyer Bimri, however, Bimri had the question, what's if shleishu matilin l'ktoich kis echad? What's if you have three consumers, but they're all partners in the same investment? Ma'u, what would the halacha be over there? Maybe there you would say that you don't have three independent evaluations because they're all in the same company. It says the Gemara Tashema, so let's bring a raya where the Braisa says that ish v'shtei nashav, a man and his two wives, paidin ma'aser sheni shein dam of yidun. They could redeem, they could be the three evaluators to evaluate the value of ma'aser sheni where the value is not known. So you see, a man and his two wives that definitely own the same investment, they're in the same household. And therefore you see that you have three in the same investment, that they could be counted as three. Says the Gemara, no, not a raya. Dilma kagan Rav Papa ubas Abba Surah. Yeah, maybe a man and his two wives would be the way Rav Papa was with the daughter of Abba Surah, who was Rav Papa's wife, as the Gemara says in Ksubis and the Aflam Tesman Beis, but she worked for herself. So it wouldn't be a proof. Yeah, a man and his two wives, but maybe it's only a man and his two wives where each wife and the husband, they're all doing their own businesses, and then they would be considered independent assessors. Maybe that would work. It wouldn't prove, if they're all involved in the same investment, that would work as three different independent evaluations to work for the halacha being paida, ma'aser sheni, and net revai, where she'ein dam of yidun, where the value is not known. Now then the Mishnah continues, says, ha-hakdeshes b'shleisha, the laws of hektish, when you redeem that, that when you're evaluating the laws of hektish, that will be with three judges. Says the Gemara, Masnin Lekai Tana D'Tanya. So our mission is not like the following Tana of the following Braisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, he says, Afilu Tzinoi Shel Hektish, even a small little fork which was used to spin gold, if it's that of Hektish, Tzricha Asar ben Adam Leftoise, it requires 10 people on the court to redeem it. Where our Mishnah said only 3, he says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, clearly you need to have 10. Now, on that the Gemara asks, only Rav Papa Labai. He says, so Bishlam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we understand his opinion, this of the Braisa, because the Amar Kishmul, he's saying like Shmuel, that as we're going to quote later on, where the Amar Shmuel says, Asar Kahanim Ksuvim Beparsha. It says the term Kayin 10 times in the Parsha regarding the redemption of items of Hektish. three times in the parasha of Erechin, which is a certain set value of a human being depending on age and gender, which that's the first parasha of laws of Hekdesh. And it says three times by the redemption of an animal, and four times by the laws of redeeming that of Karka. So that makes for a sum total of 10. So that's why you would learn from there that, yeah, because you need to have 10 judges, as the Gemara later on will explain, how do we know that you need to have they should all be Kahanim. But the Gemara says later on the next daf that, no, but you need to have a total of 10, and that's why it says the term Kahanim 10 times. But El Rabbanon, Shleisha Menalu, but according to Rabbanon, where do they know that you need only three judges to evaluate the redemption of an item of Hekdesh? Says the Gemara, V'chitem and Dechsib Hu Shleisha, and if you're going to say because it says three times the term Kahanim by the redemption of an animal, which is essentially the redemption of any item of Hekdesh besides land, and therefore that would apply not just to animals but all other items of Hekdesh, and that's where you know that you only need three. But then ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then Karkois Dechsib Hu Arba, then regarding land where it says by Karka, it's redemption. It says over there only four times the term Kahanim, Satiski Barba. So it should be enough to have four Kahanim, four judges, for the redemption of land of Hekdesh. And if you're going to say, yeah, you're right, that for land of Hekdesh you only need four, but Alama Tanan, then why do we learn in our Mishnah that says, Harka Kais, regarding land of Hekdesh, Tish of a Kain, you need nine and a Kain, meaning a sum total of 10 judges for the redemption of Karka of Hekdesh. Why do you need 10? It should be enough with four. So Elamai, rather, what are you going to say? That the reason why by land you need to have 10 judges, is 10 assessors, is because it's the last of the three parashias that talk about redemption of Hekdesh. And therefore, when you conclude the parasha of Karkois, you already have the Mishlimi Buhu Asara. You already concluded from all those three parashas 10 times that it says the term Kahanim. So although it says only by Karka four times, but you already had three and three. But then the question is, if that's the case, then Hekdeshe, so then regarding redemption of, let's say, a non-kosher animal, which is the middle of the three parashas, the Mashlimahu Buhu Shita, where then there it's concluding six times mentioning the term of Kahanim, because it already wrote three times by the parasha of Erechin before it, then Lebayishita, so it should require six. If you're looking at each one independently, so then, okay, I understand why the Chum hold you only need to have three when you're being redeeming an item of Hekdesh, because regarding that of Erechin is a different element of Hekdesh, and Karka is a different element, by Behema, which is all regular items of Hekdesh, so that you would require three judges. But then why do you need 10 by Karka? Obviously, it's cumulative. In other words, it's not just by that parasha, it's whatever was written before it. But then over here also, then this parasha, which is coming after that of Erechin, should require not just three, but also six. So the Gemara Kasha, it is a difficulty. It's not clear why by Karka it seems to be cumulative, which is then for a total of 10, whereas by Behema, which is in the middle, there it's not cumulative, it's not six, and rather it's only going to be three, according to the Rabbanan in our Mishnah.